follow me with your shape-shifting smiles and I see you. Maybe they'll believe you. Illuminati, occult on trial, silver discs and hidden files, and we see you. We've got to believe you.
Epic intro song by the good friend of the podcast, Spivey. If you haven't checked out Ryan Spivey, please go to Instagram. And he basically travels all over, does all kinds of shows everywhere. And he's sort of a one-man band. He can do it all. He's multi-talented and very knowledgeable. Very, very knowledgeable about the Uinta Basin, and about the strange goings-on having to do with skinwalkers in the area. Go to Instagram, check out Spivey_music, and support his work. I listen to Spivey all the time in my car. Reach out to him. He will shoot you some tunes that you will not believe. They will blow your mind, or he'll tell you where to get them. Very creative. The ultimate space cowboy that I know. All right, so let's dive in. On today's podcast, we're going in a bunch of different directions, specifically owls, draconian owls, and cosmic rituals, but we're not going to stop there. Before we get going, though, let me just say, if you haven't gone over to heroparanormal.com, you're missing out. Tons of content over there. For the price of a cup of coffee a month, you can access everything over there. The whole enchilada, and there's a ton of it. If you prefer to support the podcast with a more tangible effort, you can purchase anything over at happinessmedical.com, and that helps support the podcast as well. Specifically, a product over there that is created, invented, formulated, and engineered by my wife. She's the brains in the operation. It's called Spice Natural Bronze. This stuff is amazing. It keeps your skin looking great. 100% organic. The first lotion of its type. Keep your skin hydrated and moisturized using 100% organic aloe vera, organic coconut oils, as well as other scientifically transfused organic ingredients into the tincture. And not only does it keep your skin looking great, hydrated and moisturized, but it'll keep that beautiful color that you get when you go outside. And you won't be disappointed. Grab some for your favorite person, even if that person is yourself. Tan as if your life depends on it, because it does. Okay, moving on. What are we going to do? We have owls related to UFOs, owls connected to the paradigm at the Bohemian Grove. Of course, we have Ryan Garcia recently saying that he was held down. Ryan Garcia is a fighter, and he said he was held down at the Bohemian Grove and forced to watch children be sexually assaulted. He also said he had been sexually assaulted himself. This was all in an interview with Andrew Tate, another fighter. Pretty amazing interview if you haven't seen it, and very emotionally charged, which brings us to the whole deal. Like, what is the deal with owls? Why does the Bohemian Grove, I call it Bohemian Grove when it's Andrew Tate and Ryan Garcia, but what do owls have to do with the Bohemian Grove, UFOs, and the occult? Well, a whole lot, apparently. In fact, the Bohemian Grove, the 2,700-acre campground on Bohemian Avenue, has, well, something that looks like an owl. It symbolizes wisdom. It's a 30-foot owl statue made of concrete, and it stands at the head of the lake in the grove. This statue was designed by sculptor and two-time club president Haig Patigyan. Of course, these days, the club is mostly global leaders, artists, musicians, and businessmen. And it's been around for quite some time. Now, as many of you know, I think that this Ryan Garcia Bohemian Grove scenario is a big nothing burger. Now, this is mainly, that's not to say that these things have not taken place. In fact, there has been some very strange things over the years that have happened. And among those, a very strange case involving somebody named Larry King, not to be confused with the radio show host. In fact, Lawrence King, who basically ran a defunct Franklin Community Federal Credit Union in Omaha, Nebraska. Now, it was alleged that King hosted lavish parties at which minors were sexually abused. King was a huge star, rising figure in the Republican Party before investigation, and he owned multiple houses in Nebraska along with a house in Washington, D.C. Now, the Franklin Credit Union was raided by law enforcement investigating the embezzlement of tens of millions of dollars back in November of 1988. The Nebraska legislature looked into both the credit union embezzlement and the child prostitution allegations, named the Franklin Committee. This was led by State Senator Lauren Schmidt. Numerous conspiracy theories spread after the committee was announced, and there were ties to the Bohemian Grove, or alleged ties, I should say, claiming that the alleged abuse was part of a widespread series of crimes, including devil worship, cannibalism, drug trafficking, and CIA arms dealings. In 1990, private investigator Gary Caradori, hired by the Franklin Committee to investigate the allegations, died, along with his 8-year-old son, when his plane disintegrated midair near Chicago. This proved to be quite troublesome. However, after a lot of investigation, the Nebraska State Foster Care Review Board submitted the results of a 2-year investigation into the alleged physical and sexual abuse of foster children to the executive board of the Nebraska legislature. After the investigation, a grand jury determined the abuse allegations were baseless. They described them as a carefully crafted hoax. The grand jury suspected that the false stories originated from a fired employee of quote-unquote Boys Town, who might have fueled the fire and kind of ran with the conspiracy theory. A federal grand jury also concluded that the abuse allegations were unfounded, and they indicted a 21-year-old Alicia Owen, an alleged victim, on 8 counts of perjury. Owen had to serve 4.5 years in prison. This is insane. But yes, the same federal grand jury later indicted King and multiple officers of the credit union who they claim embezzled funds. King pled guilty to assisting in embezzling $39 million and was sentenced to 15 years in prison. So I think the moral of the story is, if you are someone with an allegation of sexual abuse, you get 4.5 years in prison, almost 5. And if you embezzle almost $40 million, well, you get 10 more years. It's pretty crazy. But this is one of the darkest stories, the Franklin child prostitution ring allegations, and ties to the Bohemian Grove. But there are also other strange ties, like Clarence Thomas. That's right. The all-male club for the rich and powerful is a place where Clarence Thomas went. Does he still go there? No one really knows. However, it seems as if a 1999 article in Spy magazine called the encampment, and I quote, "the most exclusive frat party on earth." Now, Supreme Court's Clarence Thomas was, over time, a guest, and he basically did not talk about what took place there, and with good reason. Clarence Thomas, of course, has been stifled by other things, but he will not turn over his brothers at the Bohemian Grove. So whether or not the Franklin cover-up had anything at all to do with the Bohemian Grove is unfounded. There's absolutely nothing to support the allegations, but if you want to look more into the Franklin cover-up, read the book called The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska by John W. DeCamp. It's definitely worth a read. But let's face it, the place is easy pickings. It's been around for a long time. If you're going to say something happened, why not say it happened there? It's been around since 1872. And let's get serious. 1872 is a long time ago. So why not, you know, just blame it on somebody that's been around a while? It's likely many things have gone on there. So saying that something took place there is kind of an easy way to start a story, kind of like, you know, this one time at band camp, right? But yeah, rituals do take place there, of course. We have the draconian owl and the cremation of care. They are rituals which are very similar to Burning Man. And owls seem to have many connections to UFOs and the paradigm of occultism, esotericism, and the Bohemian Grove's cremation of care is no different. Owls have often been discussed as having something to do with screen memories, which might be placed by non-human intelligences in the strange up close and personal abductions and encounters with unidentified aerial phenomena. This has been very well documented by a number of authors, but it's amusing how the owl is actually the symbol of the Bohemian Grove and basically has a lot to do with knowledge in general. From an esoteric standpoint, the owl is something that can see well at night. It's an animal who not only sees well at night, it can turn its head in all directions. So it makes sense to have this as a mascot to a place that says, "Weaving spiders, come not here." In other words, don't come here with your little tails. This is not the place. But that's exactly what the Bohemian Grove is steeped in, is people telling stories which may or may not be true. And Ryan Garcia's scenario, I'm not going to chime in. I don't know his background. I don't know whether the story is true or not. But anyway, the Bohemian Grove is an easy target. So, lately there was a ritual which may have happened right there on television. That's right. You may have seen it. In fact, many are talking about it. There is a lot going on when it comes to John Cena and the humiliation ritual many are purporting took place. He came out on stage and he was with none other than Jimmy Kimmel, who is, well, steeped in his own bunch of conspiracy. There is, in fact, a few Hollywood people that have a lot to say about Jimmy Kimmel. And with good reason. He basically, like most Hollywood types, started to, as he got more and more famous, see other women from his wife. And anyway, this just goes with the territory when it comes to Hollywood. This started out his career jumping up the food chain of Hollywood, as many have said. And regardless, he's on stage there with Cena, as he's standing there apparently naked, although that could be discussed ad nauseum. But this could be something akin to a humiliation ritual. Now, typically, humiliation rituals involve the male wearing a dress, which, again, John Cena has been seen multiple times wearing dresses for Hollywood. Either he knows how to take a joke, have a good time, or maybe the American professional wrestler, actor, and former rapper is actually being humiliated. He did, in fact, get humiliated nearly naked at the Oscars here in 2024 as he presented awards. It seemed a little out of place, especially standing beside Jimmy Kimmel, of all people, because let's face it, Jimmy Kimmel has got a lot of people behind him saying multiple things about him. And Jimmy Kimmel reflected on one of the most outlandish moments in Oscars history when a streaker ran across the stage during the 46th Academy Awards. And therefore, this set the stage for John Cena, who recreated that moment 50 years later. So is it a ritual? A 50-year ritual? Maybe it is. And it does seem to be somewhat humiliating. And at least for John Cena, right? But he's been humiliated before. He's worn dresses many times in the past, not only for movies, but also sometimes people aren't quite sure why. Now, John Cena, don't get me wrong, he's not a cross-dresser. He's got a wife. And this is mostly, you know, when he wears skirts, leggings, and heels, this was obviously, it looked like part of a Hollywood situation, right? Not exactly sure the exact reason, but according to some, it was for maybe the filming of a flick called Ricky Stenicki. And Cena was sported wearing a black t-shirt, a short black and white plaid skirt, thigh-high stockings, and leather heels. Ricky Stenicki, obviously a comedy, directed by Peter Farrelly. And this is not the only time that John Cena's done this, so we don't know. Are these humiliation rituals or not? It's difficult to say. But when it comes to rituals, specifically rituals that are in close proximity to men that are doing very well in their careers, you have to wonder. But it was amusing. And that brings me to the reality that maybe it's us the ritual is performed upon, us watching it. Because we are part of the situation. Of course, I did not watch it. I've seen clips here and there. However, if you've read Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death, you realize that we are kind of the catch-all for a lot of what takes place in Hollywood. In other words, the joke might be on us. And this may be because television and politics, public, you know, information, which is fed down our throats in the 21st century, has joined with electronic media, internet, cell phones. I mean, anymore, you just jump on your phone and watch YouTube or your tablet. And it's taken on even greater significance from when this book was written. However, the book does show a very interesting look at what happens when we become subject to the demands of our entertainment. In other words, it's a blueprint of how our media basically has taken over. And in my opinion, the joke might be on us. We may be the punchline to these rituals, whether humiliation rituals or not. And Cena would be not the only one that this has happened to. In fact, usually humiliation rituals take place with black men. African-American men have claimed that they will never wear skirts, among those Cat Williams and Dave Chappelle, but there's many others, because this seems to be kind of part of the script. If you want to make it big, you got to wear a dress, guy. And they say, no, we won't do this. Why? And they are threatened with their careers ending at that point. Or they're no longer given leads. They're no longer given movies. They are blacklisted in Hollywood. Why would that be? Why would it be necessary for a man to wear a dress, specifically an African-American male, or, in, you know, any male, I guess. But according to Dave Chappelle and Cat Williams, they were targeted, extremely targeted, in their opinion, to do exactly that, to wear a dress, because it is humiliating. So why would they be asked to do this? Well, it seems there's a lot to this, and there's a book called Drunk on Genocide, which goes into specific detail about rituals of humiliation. And I'm going to read a small portion of this. It says, Ritual and symbolism were integral to the construction and manifestation of power under National Socialism. Ranging from the mammoth party rallies at Nuremberg to the universal displays of the swastika on flags, pins, and armbands, and the ubiquitous use of Hail Hitler as the standard greeting of the Third Reich. The anthropologist David Kurtzer underlined the importance of such practices under the Nazi regime. And I quote, "Although all political movements became known through their rituals and symbols, the identification of politics with ritual is perhaps nowhere more graphic than in the case of Nazism." He also contended that the creation of Nazi power was accomplished in no small measure by the use of ritual. In fact, ritual in the Third Reich served as an expression of social power. So it's all about the power. And this is strange because, you know, this is where power is shown. If they can get you to do one thing, they can get you to do anything. And the rapper artist Kid Cudi responded to many who have said that he was involved in a humiliation ritual with the following. He did this via Instagram. He said, and I'm going to just basically take his words here. He said, "It's the start of a new year and I got time for a MF-er like you today. This post is mad something lame, F of course. A black man can't express himself and be confident and successful. My success was given to me by God and the help of my many angels. All you people in the comments that have been tweeting me all day about this can gargle." There's a few expletives. I'll leave those out. "Can gargle on my mayo. This moment was a proud moment for me." This is him wearing a dress. "A shining moment for all the people who express themselves in their art. I felt free and alive. It inspired people, and nothing you simple, stupid asses say can take that away from me. Happy New Year, you effing simps." So, was Kid Cudi participating in an Illuminati humiliation ritual? Is the fame and fortune what he was after, and was it worth it? Some argue that he still was. Interestingly, when it comes to Kid Cudi, you know, he recently detailed a new world tour with Pusha T, another rapper, a world tour called Insano. Now, I've actually had the opportunity to meet Pusha T and the rest of Clips in the Diamond District on 47th in New York. And what's interesting about this is Pusha T, Clips, and kind of that crew are somewhat enlightened when it comes to these social progressive situations. I would say that Clips or the group Nerd with Pharrell Williams, which incorporates, you know, NERD, No One Ever Really Dies, they seem to understand a lot of veiled knowledge, esoteric knowledge. So I find it interesting that Kid Cudi is going on tour with Pusha T, which in my opinion is a huge level up in the game, because Clips, Nerd, NERD, these groups are very much aware of these situations. And I can tell you one thing, you'll never catch Pusha T in a dress. I've met him, I've talked to Clips, and I know their style, very intelligent, very talented when it comes to lyrics, the microphone, the music, of course, like Pharrell, and part of a larger set of the music industry, which is looking behind the veil at things and aware of esoteric knowledge that other artists are not. I'm not saying anything about Kid Cudi. I don't want to detail whether or not he was involved in an Illuminati humiliation ritual, but he's another one who had one of these allegations put forth by many against him because he wore a dress. Now, interestingly, we know that P. Diddy is running into a bunch of trouble. And Kid Cudi is, well, confirming Cassie's story that Diddy blew up his car Yeah, so sorry, but here it goes. The this is wild, but the artist Cassie filed a lawsuit against her former boyfriend and, of course, the owner of Bad Boy, Sean Diddy Combs, a.k.a. P. Diddy, Puff Daddy. And in one of her accusations, she alleged that Diddy blew up the car of an artist that she was seeing at the time. That particular artist was, in fact, Kid Cudi. And he basically confirmed her allegations. Very interesting. Allegedly, Diddy threatened to blow up Kid Cudi's car. And by hook or by crook, somehow or another, not going to go any further than that, but his car allegedly exploded in the driveway of his residence. This took place back in 2012. Now, of course, Puff Daddy said that he wanted to ensure Kid Cudi was home and his friends when it happened. Again, sort of a humiliation ritual. He didn't want to hurt anybody, apparently. And these are all allegations. I don't have any data here. This is just what you can find online. However, the fact that P. Diddy, Sean Puffy Combs, was both willing and able to do these things was the point. Just basically to show that he could. Sort of like the humiliation ritual. You know, just showing your power for the fact of showing it. Making someone like John Cena, a buff wrestler, wear a dress or show up naked on stage next to Jimmy Kimmel, or to show a rapper in a dress, or the types of ritual humiliations that Dave Chappelle and Cat Williams allege, where these powerful sorts basically wanted them to wear a dress for no other reason than just to prove they could get them to do it. That is part of the humiliation ritual. It's just the exertion of power. And the same seems to be true with this P. Diddy scenario, with this car blowing up. And Kid Cudi involved again in this. And just when you think we're done with rituals and draconian owls, we're just getting started. If you've ever been to October's very own website, or OVO, this is the website of Drake and his, of course, clothing, his clothing line, among other things. October's very own, or OVO, also has an owl. An owl is the symbol. And it actually says OVO between the owl's eyes and beak. And the owl is almost an exact copy of the Bohemian Grove owl. In fact, very difficult to tell the difference. Now, what's interesting about this is if you go to the accessories section of October's very own, they have umbrellas with owls, they have scarves with owls, beach towels with owls, domino set with owls, etc. Everything has an owl on it. And this is specifically because the owl has esoteric meaning, the esoteric meaning of knowledge. And so rappers, hip hop in general, is usually one of these genres where there is allegedly sacrifices that must be made for moving forward, leveling up, and getting more microphone time with more powerful people, collaborations, having other people on your albums. This has long been documented. It's very well documented in the book Sacrifice Behind the Mic by Isaac Weisop, but it's been detailed by a variety of researchers and investigators and proven beyond any extent that there is some ritual sacrifice involved in the hip hop game of one form or another. Let me read a little bit of lyrics by Drake. I know everything cannot be understood by lyrics, but check this out. And this is a post that he drops some lyrics. People change. I'm not surprised. Devil's working overtime. Voodoo spells put on my life. It won't work. They all have tried. I seen men turn fool for the money. one too many times. I seen some girls turn they back on they best friends from time. I heard you say things that you can't take back, girl, no time. I need you to go easy now and fix up one time. I cannot tell who is my friend. So voodoo curses. Interesting. But are they actual spiritual attacks that he's talking about? This is Sandra's Rose by Drake. When I say that they cursing me, it ain't dirty words. He mentions things like this all the time. Drake has openly talked about Hebrew Aleph, and that is basically the Jewish Kabbalah and other Jewish mysticism. He has basically kind of publicly said that he's a Jewish Kabbalist. In some way, shape, or form, he knows about the knowledge in that area of the occult. So while many maintain he's not a Satanist, he may be somewhat of a Jewish occultist. But then again, he's openly stated knowledge having to do with this, and he definitely knows about the occult. So if you are an occultist, does that necessarily mean that you're familiar with or you know that people are dropping curses on you? Maybe. Because Drake has references of the moon and its phases and its signs, and he seems to be aware of the New World Order and alleges that he has real knowledge on the occult. So maybe he knows more than he lets on. And talking about knowing more than people are letting on about, let's get to it. Because there's a lot of ritual involved with a certain part of a larger set of cosmological events coming up. Specifically, lunar eclipses. The tetrad-blooded lunar eclipse, four back-to-back in 4 years. This is something coming up on April 8th. We have a lunar eclipse. And it's not your average lunar eclipse. The one April 8th of 2024 is going to be one that allegedly is going to mark a certain blast off or a set of cosmological events. This has not happened for a while. And when the last time it happened, if I'm not mistaken, was 1811. Of course, then after that, we had the War of 1812. And we had all kinds of other problems which started. We had, a massive earthquake here in the United States where the Mississippi River flowed backwards. It was so massive. Then, of course, the War of 1812, which was absolutely horrific. And so some people are saying that this particular cosmological event, April 8th of 2024, is going to be something similar, something bad, a bad omen of sorts, if you're into this sort of thing. Now, of course, the War of 1812 was a rough one. It was a big deal. You know, this was, you know, called the American War of 1812 in Britain, and it was fought by the United States and its indigenous allies against the United Kingdom and its own indigenous allies in British North America. So it was brutal. It was fought between the United States and Great Britain, primarily over the impressment of American sailors by the British Navy, as well as all kinds of disagreements over trade, Western expansion, and Native American policy. So there was a lot of reasons, and a lot of people died. But cosmologically, something took place before, and now we're going to have it take place again. So a lot of people have asked me, are you going to watch this April 8th, 2024 eclipse? And no, I'm not. I know that it's a fun thing to do. Grab the kids, put on the funny glasses, go out and watch it. However, I think that even that is a ritual of sorts. Now, keep in mind that rituals are a big deal to those who are in charge. And many of them watch them fearlessly in public. But I think that the inner sanctum of those in control do not. Now, April 8th, we have something coming up. And if you remember, last year we had something known as, well, we have it every year, but you've probably heard of the Bilderbergs. Now, last year, the 18th through the 21st of May, they had a lot of interesting things they discussed. And among those, let me list them in order. AI was number one, the first thing you should be worried about. Banking systems were number two, second thing you should be worried about. China was number three, third thing you should be worried about. Fourth was energy transition. That sounds interesting. Then Europe. Maybe this has to do with NATO and Russia. I don't know. Steadfast defender. And then, of course, we have fiscal challenges. And lastly, India, because India is coming up quick as a world power. They're coming up quick. So these things were at the top of the list that the inner sanctum of the Bilderberg were discussing. I say concentrate on the first three. AI, the banking system in China. This is scary stuff. And stuff that could bring it all down, if you really think about it. We owe a ton of money to China. We're letting AI basically create AI at this point. If you've looked into NVIDIA, to make AI, they actually use AI to make their AI. And our banking systems are definitely going digital with cryptocurrency. So these are all threatening trifectas of, well, possibly a reset. Let's just call it what it is. If you were going to reset a culture or a society, these three things would be very important control factors included in that. I know what many of you are probably thinking. This AI stuff is way beyond me. What could I possibly know about this AI and how it has to do with the banking system in China? But I have to warn you that some of these technological advancements can be weaponized. Let's remember that there is something called V2K or voice-to-skull technology, which many said was just the wild ramblings of conspiracy theorists. And now the intelligence community has verified that there is something to it. In fact, a lot more to it than we may know. Look into an interesting case, the allegation that this is the Ethan Crumbly case. And there is an allegation that V2K was used on him. This is a teenager, Ethan Crumbly, who was sentenced to life in prison without parole. This is after he gunned down four classmates and wounded a bunch of others and a teacher at Michigan's Oxford High in 2021. Now, interestingly, the defense plead was that Crumbly's life was salvageable. And the judge noted that the defendant, in his own words, told the court, "This is nobody's fault but my own." Now, people are alleging that V2K technology may have been used in the Ethan Crumbly case. Keep in mind that Ethan recorded audio saying, and I quote, "I'm going to have so much fun the night before the carnage took place." Well, he also said, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." Police detailed this note, and he basically believed he was a targeted individual, possibly a trauma-based mind control individual, and he believed that these thoughts, and people close to him as well allege, that these thoughts may have been put into his head. Of course, I've got to say allegedly here to cover myself, but this is interesting that this would even come up. V2K and targeted individual, because this voice-to-skull technology, at least allegedly, is able to do exactly this. It is able to push thoughts into someone's head. Now, if you were going to just try, let's just say try, to put thoughts into somebody's head, is this the type of situation that you would use? Is this where voice-to-skull technology would be used? I don't know that it is. However, like I said, some close to him believe that this V2K, this voice-to-skull technology, is something targeted against Ethan Crumbly and that it may have something to do, allegedly, about his case. He's not the only one, though. There's been this allegation many times by other people who have committed atrocities and then afterwards don't really know. You know, they've got that MK Ultra stare, as people jokingly call it. But there's no joke about it, because what if this was something that could be focused, targeted, and utilized against people? It's kind of a scary thing, this MK Ultra V2K scenario. Now, I bring up this V2K thing in no way to diminish the horrific actions done by people who take part in these activities. However, it is interesting that the police detailed in a note that the thoughts won't stop, help me. And a drawing that a teacher found on his desk seems to also lend some strange evidence towards the possibility of him being a targeted individual. Let me get into a little bit of that. But again, this in no way is to diminish the act which took place. Obviously, I believe that even if you are targeted, that if you're under your own fruition, you should be able to battle these attacks, even if they are V2K. But let's look into this a little bit. This was this came out on News Nation. Also, Israeli News Live talked about this. Multiple media outlets are now talking about the possibility of the V2K voice-to-skull targeted individual technology in the Ethan Crumbly case. So this, unfortunately, this is not my own finding. This is making the rounds. But again, I have to say, this is not to diminish the loss of life, the loved ones affected, any of the relentless actions which took place. But that being said, let's look into this a little bit. Anyway, my point is that the teacher saw, you know, this note that he was drawing, and it said, "The thoughts won't stop. Help me." This should have been a heads up. Of course, shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? Everybody's a sage in retrospect. But those are scary words. The thoughts won't stop. Help me. Either extremely mentally ill, obviously not right in the head, or maybe, as some are alleging, there is the possibility of some targeting of some sort by something, someone, something, some I don't know what. But anyway, something to note. Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. And for those who have followed MKUltra, it is not necessarily utilized at all times by government. This could be something as simple as you can MKUltra yourself. Let's just say that. If you did the same thing over and over again daily, you know, the likelihood of you being desensitized to certain things and having messages placed in your mind, there's nothing that would take away from the fact that you could probably make yourself do just about anything. And as a really good example, you know, we see these serial killers, you know, Ted Bundy, who these guys would look at porn nonstop and look at violence nonstop. And next thing you know, you have that strange, horrible matrimony between porn and violence and death. And things get really dark really quick, right? And this is stuff that these guys sometimes do to themselves. Maybe they don't mean to do it, but one thing leads to another and another and another, and these bad omens continue. And well, let's just say, bad things can happen. So anyway, enough of that bad stuff. And speaking of bad omens, let's get back to when these blood red lunar eclipses, when you have four of them in a cycle back to back in 4 years, this is a bad situation. So 8 sets since Christ have taken place since Jesus was around. That's a long time ago. So 8 sets of these have taken place, and each time it seems that bad stuff happens. They've kind of become bad omens, a lot like, you know, Friday the 13th. These things sort of become, speaking from a calendar sense, bad omens and precursors to bad events. As I said, the last one happened in 1811. Before that, there was one in 1806. And in 1811, we had that large earthquake. We had, you know, literally the Mississippi River flowing backwards. Insane. We had all kinds of rivers flowing backwards. We had land masses moving around Then we had the War of 1812, bad omens. So sometimes these cosmological events are something that maybe you should prepare for in some way, shape, or form. And for those who say this stuff doesn't exist, these bad omens, that's numerology, gematria, whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of cases where these strange things do have literal consequences. Of course, we have, let me just give you a quick example. Not saying anything is here nor there. However, we all know the number 33 is used as a head nod from one Elite to another Elite, those who follow El, the creator god, the original elites, if you want to call them elites. Elites are known to use numerology, and the number 33 is extremely elite-oriented. Well, how so? Well, 33 is the honorary degree that is used in many circles of Masonic rites. And it's not just in Masonic rites that 33 is used. Of course, speaking of Christ, he died at the age of 33. And the Illuminati has been known, which is a catch-all phrase, but the Illuminati has been known to utilize in numerology the numbers 11, 22, 33. They're called master numbers. That's why they're important to the illuminated ones. And there is, of course, the 33 rule, which means 33% of your time should be spent with mentors, 33% with your peers, those who are at the same level of you, and 33% for, well, people who, I guess, are below you, is a good way to put it, or people who you can mentor or guide. Now, this idea is not just applied to time and people. It's a philosophy that can be applied to all aspects. The 33 rule, a thirds, the law of thirds. Of course, the triangle is very important to the quote-unquote Illuminati or to the Masonic Brotherhoods and other secret societies and orders. And the 33-33-33 rule is also important to investors. As the name suggests, the rule involves dividing your investment portfolio like this: 33% in stocks, 33% in bonds, and 33% in cash or cash equivalents. So there is something to it, and it aims to provide you with enough savings to cover any costs that may arise. So 33, 33, 33, and of course, what's left? The 1%. Because 33, 33, and 33 are very important numbers, but they will bring you 99. And what's left is the 1%. 1%ers use this rule. So anyway, back to 33. Very important, the honorary degree in Freemasonry. 33 is the year that Christ was crucified. And 33 is seen over and over again in different scenarios. For example, we have, and this is one I'm always worried about bringing this up, but it's true. In 1968, the Twin Towers began their vertical climb in construction. 33 years later, in 2001, they came down. So that's interesting enough. We also had at the Reflection Pond, where the Twin Towers now has this place called the Reflection Pond. It's basically to commemorate, you know, the 9/11 memorial pools, whatever you want to call them. A 33-year-old jumped in to this 9/11 memorial reflection pond. And he didn't die. But the 33-year-old man was arrested after jumping into the reflection pools, one of the reflection pools at the 9/11 Memorial in New York City. So it's funny how 33s keep popping up with some of these things. So numerology is important. So when you see these situations, like the one coming up April 8th, 2024, just be aware that if something out of the ordinary is taking place, go the other way, right? Why not? It can't hurt. But let's get back to 33 again. And the interesting scenario of 9/11, because, of course, in 1968, the Twin Towers began their vertical climb and construction. 33 years later, in 2001, they went down. Now, you know what else happened in 1968? Is the first call to 911 was placed in February of 1968. In fact, that is when 911 started. A call to that number could quickly connect you with help and emergency services and police. In a state of emergency, you could begin calling 911 in 1968. The same year, the Twin Towers began their vertical climb in construction. Interesting? Yeah, I would say so. Now, since 1968, 911 has been designated as the, quote, universal emergency number. This is where citizens throughout the United States can request emergency assistance. It was intended as a nationwide phone number and gave the public fast and easy access to emergency services. Of course, numerology is more important to some than others, but I'll tell you that there is a controversy when it comes to targeting civilians and political agendas and the numerology involved with that. So what does it mean? What does it all mean? Well, it seems as if there is a type of code generation or programming that can take place, and it is basically quantifying the human mind, targeting individuals, and somewhat putting us into factions. This has been a long time theory of many, including the late Bill Cooper. If you remember, he had a radio show called The Hour of the Time. And he believed that basically there was this upcoming event, a reset, if you want to call it that, but that we were being targeted, put into different political camps, and that there was this event unlocking a future that was more dystopian in nature. Well, he could not have been further from the truth. It seems that many of the biggest issues are being brought to the forefront, but maybe not in the way that he originally believed. AI is one of those enemies, let's say, or the things on the front line bringing this reset into view faster than anything else. And it's doing so at a breakneck rate of speed. The symbolism and the occult nature of artificial intelligence is working so much faster than anyone would have ever expected. There's no doubt why AI is at the top of the list of the things that the Bilderberg Group are discussing. If AI is able to independently move us into this new era and get us all on something akin to a universal basic income, that's called a UBI. A lot of people have talked about this for some time. And believe it or not, if we are allowing ourselves to be controlled by AI, this will become a type of mind control. A type of mind control we have not factored into the equation. The AI is able to, through apps in our phone, our tablets, etc., track our eye movement as we scroll. And scrolling is something that we are getting better and better at doing, unfortunately, because All the while we are scrolling, AI is tracking our eye movements to see what garners our attention. It is quite literally a different type of mind control based on attention getting. What garners our attention? What captures our eye movement? So this new era, this death of the past, a move forward into the prophecy of artificial intelligence, and maybe the things that we are ritualizing are being done artificially. Maybe the scariest of the draconian owls, the one that can see everywhere. Maybe, just maybe, the draconian owls we need to be most worried about are artificial in nature, artificial intelligence in general, and the way it is sabotaging a lot of not only corporations, but in a type of ripple effect, sabotaging what people do for a living. This is turning into a dystopian future. Self-checkout lines are the norm. Self-serve everything is the norm. Less and less people are needed for, well, anything. And it seems as if we are actually slowly but surely killing our corporate environment, our economy. And no wonder, because the less jobs there are, the less money we have, the less we can do with our money, and we become completely useless. In other words, there is instability in the ranks. The middle class is slowly but surely getting whittled away. And if this is continuing in the way it seems to be continuing, then maybe, just maybe, Bill Cooper wasn't so far off with his Hour of the Time radio show. And maybe we need to be more aware of the world to come. There are secrets hidden in plain sight through a lot of the numerology and the cosmic rituals. So let's be aware of it. Let's be more like the owl and be aware of our surroundings and the cosmic rituals that are coming down the pipe. Until next time, keep your eyes to the skies, feet on the ground, but don't forget to take a look around.
Follow me with your darkest eyes. Follow me with your shape-shifting smiles, and I see you. Maybe they'll believe you. Illuminati, occult, dawn, trial, silver discs and hidden files, and we see you. We've got